The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
From the heart of the nautical mile, you're listening to the station that serves your community. AM 1240 WGBB.com and 1240 WGBB Freeport.
The previous program was brought to you by the Greek Broadcasting Network. The views and opinions presented in this program do not necessarily represent those of WGBB or its employees. You're listening to 1240 WGBB.
Read the gospel and repent. Live from WGBB, Long Island's oldest radio station. This is the most listened to show on WGBB. It's time for...
Listen Up, Jesus is on the Air.
And that was Joan Chiffo, and I'm Dr. Anthony Chiffo. And we're here to tell you, we love Jesus.
Yes, we do.
And thank you, listeners. We appreciate you listening. We appreciate your steady listening. And also, we want to tell you, we appreciate all the listeners that are acquiescent to keeping Dr. John Palmer's legacy alive. By the way, all our shows are dedicated to the memory of my co-partner and my co-founder, Dr. John Palmer. And so... the contributions that came in are heartwarming. It's allowing us to continue to keep the legacy of Dr. John Palmer alive. We know we can go at least to three quarters of this year, and we'll find a way to stretch the year out, I'm sure. But every penny of donations goes strictly to paying the radio station for the cost of doing this show. So thank you, and there's a package for anyone that donates, and you're going to love it. Okay, so it just so happens that our guests are stuck in traffic, so they're not here yet, but we'll continue. We'll go on with the show, and we want you to know this is a grassroots show. This show is for you, our listeners. This show is for our diocese. This show is to convert as many listeners as we can and bring them back to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's so heartwarming to get all the emails and the messages that we get.
You have a lot of people asking for prayers too, Anthony.
Yes, and Jonah is going to take care of that. But I just want to mention that this is a grassroots show. We opened up comments to text messages. So you can text us during the course of the show. Not call, but text us. If you have any questions, any comments, anything you like, anything you don't like, we'll read them on the air. We're open, and we're willing to share all our listeners' comments. So you can text us at 516-712-7005. That's 516-712-7005. Or you can text us at 516-712-7004. Okay, so my lovely bride Joan has got a few announcements to make and a few people that we want to reach out to. So, Joan?
Sure. All right, we have some special prayer requests today, really special people to pray for. And one of them is our little friend David, who we always pray for. Please keep him in your prayers. And another one is Kimmy, friends of my sister, and Justine, and Mikey, and Nick's son Nicky is in the hospital, so we'd like you to pray for him too. So all these special people deserve a little special attention today. And you know, we always want to keep you in our prayers and give you some spiritual reflection. So I think what I'll do now is read the spiritual reflection of the week. You know, sometimes we reflect on a passage, and sometimes on a sentence, but today's scripture asks us to meditate on just a few words. And if you want to read the entire scripture, it's Luke 5:1-11. So the scripture of the week says, while the crowd was pressing in on Jesus and listening to the word of God. Now that's the whole thing. Just reflect on that. While they were listening to God, the word of God, pressing in on Jesus. Now can you picture yourself in this scene? Would you be part of the crowd pressing in on Jesus? Would you have been one of the ones who wanted to get as close as possible to him, intent on hearing every word? If you listen with your heart, it will seem as if it was meant specifically for you. It's like Jesus is reading your mind, and when he's speaking, the words are finding a home with you. I am convinced as you listen to him that he's sent by God to help you, to save you. Has he captured your heart, your mind, and your soul? Is this you?
Stop the show! They're here!
Excuse me! Hi, how are you?
Okay, sorry.
Can I finish my last line here?
Yes, finish your last line.
Okay. Has he captured your heart, your mind, and your soul? Is this you? Or when the crowd began to press in on Jesus, did you walk away in the other direction and position yourself so far apart from him that you couldn't hear or listen and therefore could not be saved? Amen.
Welcome, welcome. We are so honored. Listeners, I got to tell you who we have as a guest, a special guest. Well, we all know Barbara Campbell. She's an old friend of the show.
Hi, Barbara.
Hi, Joan.
She's a scholar on the Bible, which we're going to talk about today. But we got a celebrity today.
Oh, gosh.
And you guys, and she is she's a special fan of my wife, Joan, because my wife listens to her every morning and says, that's her. So let's introduce her. Joan, you introduce it since you're...
Okay. Well, you know, everyone knows Barbara Campbell, and this is her daughter. Her daughter is Danielle Campbell, and she is a special person on News 12 on every morning. And if you are up early enough at 7 in the morning, you can see her doing the news.
Thank you for having me.
Okay, we're so happy to have you.
I'm so excited to be here. I started at WGBB.
Did you really?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
You hear that, Trevor? You hear that? Another celebrity from WGBB.
And it still looks the same, right?
Well, we were in Merrick when we began.
Oh, okay.
WGBB. And yes. I did my first newscast, and I was scared as heck. But Howard Stern, I think, started at GBB. Judy DeAngelis. There's a whole group of luminaries that began in Long Island Radio because that's all we had, Long Island Radio. It was so vibrant.
This is the oldest station.
Yes.
Think in the 50s it started or something like that. So, wow, all those celebrities started from WGBB.
Yes.
And now... They could add, listen up, Jesus is on the air to the celebrities, I guess.
I love it.
And that's terrific.
So this is a good way to remember your roots and where we came from.
I learned so much here. I learned how to be a newscaster and
you do a great job.
Manipulate all the sound and all the carts and all the things.
Well, I'm only here a couple of months, so I'm still learning too. Oh. So,
Well, thank you for having my mother and myself. It's such an honor, and
we're so excited. Got some questions for you.
Though. Okay, good.
You're not
going to
get off that easy, though.
Okay.
I just want to mention we did get a text. You were talking about prayers for people.
Yes, I did mention it.
Yeah, and I did get a text. We opened the phone to text messages for listeners.
Fabulous.
And they, you know, we're grassroots, and we want to know what's the good, what's the bad, what do you like, what you don't like. I know I'm a little bit annoying, so I take all that with the grace.
You're annoying?
Yeah. That's the way it goes, but, and so people
You'll hear him say the same thing again, so, you know.
Okay.
So people send in their prayer requests and stuff like that. So I just got another one on the the text message, and so we're going to lift up someone that requested, and this is for Al's cousin Eugene.
Oh, okay.
So we'll just lift up Eugene amongst the other ones that you mentioned in prayer. And we have a petition, a bag full of petitions, and we'll pray for it at the end, and Mama's going to take care of that.
I'm going to put this here, too.
Mom, you're going to do that at the end. Right?
Amen.
Okay. And so
she's good at it.
We got a great show set up. We're going to talk, of course, Barbara is a scholar on the scriptures, and we're hoping to have her as a regular guest every month. We're working on that. We'll see what happens.
She has to.
Yeah. And she's got a lot.
Get
so
her
she's
here.
Got a lot
she's
to
got
say.
A lot to say.
Yes.
So we're ready.
Believe me, I know.
We're
she's
ready.
My mother.
Mothers, aren't they something?
Yes.
My sons are up there, you know, 39 and stuff like that. And to this day, they're worried about what the mother, my wife is going to say.
Good.
To this day, they're worried about,
that's right,
you know,
yeah.
and they keep telling us.
Oh, they should be afraid of me.
So I wanted to mention Danielle. Now, Mom is a scholar on scriptures. Dad, bless him, is a deacon.
I'm a preacher's
yes.
daughter.
And you're a preacher's
right.
daughter.
With a
yes.
Double
and
S.
And so wow. it's so heartwarming, so beautiful to know that when we watch News 12, we're watching someone that's of God and that's of Jesus, and that her soul is given to Jesus. And,
oh.
and so we're so, I could cry, but I'm not going
oh,
to.
Oh, that's
we're
so beautiful.
So heartwarming.
Let Barbara talk.
So
no,
heartwarming
no,
to know.
Thank
you.
Okay, so I'm going to shut up. I have to
everybody's
shut
crying.
Up.
My mother started crying in the car on the
did
way
you?
Here. We were talking about our trip to Haiti because the News 12 had sent me to Haiti
we'll talk
during
about
the earthquake.
Goodness, yeah.
yeah, we'll talk
you
about
you went
that.
With them, Barbara?
And my mother.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to interrupt, but
okay,
I could
but
tell
we'll
you that story in a bit.
But my lovely bride said I got to shut up, so I'll shut up. So, but just let me ask you one question.
Yes.
You know, because of your background and because of Mom and Dad, and Mom is a featured speaker on, people go out of their way to listen
yes.
to her. They really do. I mean, I hear all these sorts of reports. That's why Joni says we got to see if Barbara would do a show once a month for us and talk about the scriptures, because the scriptures are the basis, the foundation of our religion. But how did you, or when did you get the Holy Spirit to be, you know, you're a celebrity, let's face it.
Oh.
And but you're a celebrity in my eyes.
Thank you.
That's with Jesus.
Oh.
And that Jesus is centered. You're centered with Jesus. When did this all come about, or was it just something that continued to grow?
I guess when you grow up in the charismatic renewal and healing masses, and my family was just always
prayer meetings,
and it was just the way we were brought up. I had a gold statue of Jesus that was like 5 feet tall in our kitchen. I mean,
well,
you know, so.
Yeah.
But we grew up with, like my parents were like hippie spiritual Jesus people.
Oh, what a way to describe it. I love
they're,
it.
You know, they were just real hippies, but it was like a beautiful spiritual life. It wasn't, rote, routine, by the book. It was about just being the best person you could be, doing everything you can with love, with faith. You know, the faith is what really has kept all of us going. And
I'm sure.
We've all, you know, we all have our challenges. I meet people with challenges every single day. And my heart, I just pray over them and send them blessings and quietly ask God to protect these people that I meet, because it's not much sometimes that I can do except tell their story and ask God to use my voice to help them.
And he certainly does.
Make changes in their lives, give them the strength to get through. Sometimes it's just the fact that we're noticing them, taking note of their predicament, their story. We just had families that had to move out of a trailer park in Syosset, and they lived there, some of them, their whole lives. And there were people down on their luck who lived on Jericho Turnpike, you would never even know it was there.
Really?
In the middle of, you know, fancy restaurants and things like that in Syosset. And to go to their homes, their trailers, and and see their struggle because they'd been evicted and had nowhere to go.
Oh, my Lord.
And had to leave many of their things behind and piles of mattresses and toys and things they couldn't take with them and find housing. And Long Island's so expensive, and they had to move upstate. And it was just, my heart was just broken for them.
But you know what? Your heart being broken and your love for the people that are down and out, when I watch you on TV, it sort of penetrates through the TV. I think, don't you think so, Joan?
I think so. Yes.
And it's reflected.
Well, you can hear it in your voice.
You can hear it in your voice.
You can tell when I'm upset.
But you can tell your Christian upbringing, your Christian concern for your fellow people.
I have to say, I'm so blessed and lucky, and I just thank God every day for my job, because I work with amazing people who are all very spiritually minded, whatever religion or whatever their beliefs are. They are such a group.
That's wonderful.
And they're so full of they're professional, but they also have heart and spirit. And that's why I've stayed at News 12 for as long as I have. I'm there 23 years now. I worked at NBC News.
Wait a minute.
I did a whole bunch of stuff.
You're
I'm
there
the oldie.
23 years?
Yes. I don't tell people that.
How old were you when you started? Seven?
Yes. Exactly.
You know, I have to tell you, listeners, Danielle is a beautiful young lady. And you can, when you're with her in person, her beauty actually and her love for people actually penetrates through her.
It does.
And the
I'm
smile.
Coming here every week. Mom, now I know why you're showing up.
I have to tell you,
lots of this all came from my parents and mom and dad.
Sure,
they
did.
Taught me to have confidence, to stay faithful, to stay strong, to stay the path as best as we can. News is challenging, local news. And there was a time where I thought, should I be going into Christian television or Christian news? And I felt it very strongly that, no, you need to stay in secular broadcast, secular news.
Because you know why? You bring Christianity and spirituality to the news. You honestly do. It's in your face. It's in your tone. It's in and I know why now. Joan is a big fan of yours. I know she listens to you every morning. What is it? 9 o'clock or 8?
Eight o'clock. Doug and I.
Yeah. 8 o'clock.
We've been together for many years. And he's a dear friend. Such a professional. I drive him crazy. I'm putting up on my mascara, and they're counting down.
Well, you know,
five, four, three, and I'm trying to put them, because I consider myself a journalist first, not
and
a television personality.
Right.
And so sometimes I forget to put the mascara on.
Don't feel bad. Sometimes
That's
I forget funny, to comb my
sometimes
hair.
Sometimes I just notice your eyes. I guess it is the mascara they put on. I notice how beautiful you look on TV.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. So it's been kind of fun to share some of my adventures with my mother.
Oh, I'm sure. And she's so proud of you. And you know what? Joan and I are very proud of you, too.
Oh, thank you so much.
And the last time, your last adventure was Haiti?
I guess we've had a lot since then. That was a big one.
Haiti was big. So News 12 said to me, I said to News 12, we need to go to Haiti. The earthquake happened on my birthday.
Oh.
And as all of us felt, all our hearts just broke in half. And the idea of Haiti being so close to us, you know, three and a half, 4 hours away. It's
Absolutely.
Not like it's on the other side of the planet.
Right.
And here, people suffering who are right in our backyard.
Yeah.
News 12 has blessed me with so many amazing trips where we've changed lives. I've gone to Nicaragua several times, Ecuador, been to Lourdes, France with News 12 and Stephen McDonald.
Oh, have you? I love
him. That's a whole other story.
I love him. He's been on the show several times.
He is such a blessing. Great. And I was so lucky to do tell his story in Lourdes. And News 12 sent me. It was
wonderful.
Just amazing. And on top of it, not to toot my own horn, but I love the idea that I've won Emmys and Edward R. Murrow's and things like that for these stories.
Yeah.
Which the reason I'm proud to say that is because it means that people are agreeing that these stories are important.
Absolutely.
It validates stories of good news, stories of triumph, stories of people going out of their way to help others.
Right.
And so to win the Emmys for the stories that I've done is such a blessing because it validates good news.
Yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Barbara, you're not going to get off so easy, you know. when Danielle was a child, I'm sure you and your husband, Deacon, tried or instilled the Holy Spirit into her in one way or another. Can you share to our listeners? I mean, here's the story. Let me tell you the scoop. A lot of parents are concerned that they're children are not keeping what they try to do. Like we brought, many of them brought their children to Mass every Sunday.
Right.
And without skipping a Sunday. I mean, we did the same thing. Our kids went, till they were 18, went to Mass every Sunday. But many parents are disappointed that they sort of dropped out once they left the fold. How did you handle that? How did you make sure that they weren't going to drop out?
They don't make it their priority at this point in their life. You know, once they're married and they have children and they have sports and things to do, this is not the priority anymore. I think it's in their mind at all times. I don't think they've lost it. But I do think that their priorities are a little mixed up, you know.
Yeah.
Did you have a plan or did it just happen or did you pray to the Holy Spirit? How did it work out?
Well, for us, having your father on the altar.
Yes, very.
That gets you to church.
Yes, I'm sure it does.
And we're so proud of him. We want to be there when he's there.
Yeah.
I can just speak, you know, on my behalf.
Absolutely.
I'll just speak as someone who's struggled with that because I have four kids and I know that struggle. And for me, with the kids, I found that it was such a great time, like after we're going to the diner, you know, or we're going to, you know, make it a family fun thing.
Yeah.
I even, Father Ryan in Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs, in the summer, I paddleboard over to church.
Is that right?
And he just gets such a kick out of it. And you know what they do at Our Lady, Queen of Martyrs is after Mass, it's an 8 o'clock Mass, they have, you know, coffee and just and fellowship. And I think that's just such a nice thing to do. I'm happy because I just spent an hour paddleboarding. So
wow.
You feel like you need something.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And, you know, I get over there and I run up into church and with my flip-flops in the summer, you know, and just I'm so happy to be there. I feel so blessed. But it I think part of it has to be a routine, but also to make it fun and
rewards. I totally believe in bribing. I think bribes are great.
You know, I think I agree with you.
I think I do too.
Yeah, I think I do.
Well, you know, my mother does Sunday dinner every Sunday.
Really?
Every Sunday, my mother come snowstorm. Right.
Is that right?
And my mother wrote a book about it. You know, a children's book. Do you know about that?
I have that book.
Yes.
Okay.
We do.
He's promoted it.
I gave out, I think, 30 copies. I think it was 35 copies I gave.
It's so fun. It's such a great book. And it's all about children's fears and overcoming them and having faith. And it's great because it's about what happens at our Sunday dinners.
Yeah. Is that right? Yeah. So parents are pretty substantial in laying the groundwork.
Yeah, but I think one of the problems, and I've talked to parents about this somehow the last month quite a bit, is we take ourselves too seriously, and we have to just back off. I think Pope Francis is a great model for us. Like, just chill a little bit, okay? Because when you see that resistance, and all the kids have it, it always comes up. Don't look at that as, well, this says who I am now. This is about me as a parent. If I can't get my kid there, then this is about me. It's not about you. Break that. Detach from that. It's about them and their culture and their peer group, and to kind of like not come against it, but give it the karate move, you know, like when your opponent comes towards you, you kind of use their energy to flip them.
The psychology. Oh, wait a minute, I forgot to tell you.
Oh, no.
I have to tell you this, listeners.
Yeah.
Barbara is a licensed
psychotherapist.
And you know, I've sent.
Oh, Danielle, you really had it.
Spiritual director.
Tell
and,
me about it.
I've sent, and of course, our dear friend Carol Rubano is the director of the
Living Waters, an amazing Catholic clinic.
Right. Yeah, and I've sent, you know, several people to you guys, and I've gotten nothing but praises, and especially from you, about you.
Thank you.
They simply love the way you talk to them, you handle them, you analyze things, and you show them the right perspective. I think it's a God gift.
It is.
That's what I tell them when I recommend you. I say, I think she has a God gift.
It's actually a posture shift. It's a shift from the world's perspective, because we always worry about human approval and what the world is thinking, to Christ's perspective, you know? And once you get into Christ's perspective, you shift.
Everything
changes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But getting back to the kids, I think, you know, out there, just telling you all, don't come against the kids. You know, go with it. You know, if they're, like, be cool about it. You know, you can be very gentle in your little encouragements. Hey, you want to go to church today? And if they say, I'm not into that. Okay. And then the following Sunday, hey, you know, you want to come? But I think what happens is, because we get so upset about them not coming, then we shut down the other things that make the environment, right, that make the environment a God-centered environment. So we start shutting that all down because we're so upset about that. Rather, keep that God-centered environment. You know, keep it going. Jesus, we have to use Jesus as our model. He was never like reprimanding people all over the place. He was just, you know.
Praise Jesus.
I love it when he talks to Matthew, and he doesn't say, you know, too bad you screwed up. You're a tax collector. I don't know why you did that, but you can't really be on our team. He said, no, you're great. Come follow me. And then in following him, he got converted.
Right.
So it's in the following. So we have to have an environment for our kids that they're comfortable with that, and they don't feel that pressure, so that they can just kind of ease into the flow of it. And then when they are ready to really hear us, you know, it's timing. When you're ready to have that sit down and say to them, you know, really, the Eucharist is such a source of grace, and it would be so wonderful if you were there. I'm not saying give that up. I'm saying use timing. And then when that timing is there, they've already lived in that environment of God.
It's already instilled in them. Wow. By the way, Barbara is a speaker, and she's a weekly speaker on the Bible and on scriptures, and she's very good, and she has a very good following. And I think we're going to talk a little bit about the Year of Mercy. You have some things that I want to ask you about. But why don't we play a song? Is it okay if we play a song?
Absolutely.
How about the song?
Mercy?
Mercy!
Okay.
Number one.
It's a great song.
What a coincidence!
I'm at the end. Thank you. obedience, not sacrifice, is your desire for my life. Surrender brings the deepest pain, yet opens up heaven's rain. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy on me. On me. Wash and cleanse me. Make me whole.
So the song is asking for the Lord to have mercy. Barbara, you're well-voiced on Pope Francis' Year of Mercy. Now, I know there's a lot of things going on about the Year of Mercy. But the biggest confusion is what kind of favors can we get by doing what the Pope says for us to do for the Year of Mercy. And what does the Pope tell us to do?
Mm-hmm,
can you help us out with that?
Yeah, I think first we have to define mercy, because I think that's the most misunderstood piece of the puzzle. And very often we confuse compassion with mercy. Now, compassion is a fruit of the Holy Spirit, and it's a wonderful gift. But mercy is something totally different. So when the Pope says this is a year of mercy, he's not talking about human compassion. I have a great little story to illustrate that. There was a very great act committed against the army during Napoleon's time, and the soldier who committed this abomination was sentenced to be executed. And his mother came before the judge, and she said, please, I'm pleading for mercy for my son. And he said, but your son doesn't deserve mercy. And she said, exactly. That's why it's mercy. That's
so
a little story.
So mercy by Pope Francis is meant for all of us that really don't even deserve mercy.
Well, and not just all of us, but for those who we cannot forgive, for those who we are incapable of forgiving. The very essence of mercy is you don't deserve it. If you deserve it, it's not mercy. Mercy's
That's
given
right.
to those who do not, and us, ourselves too, many times, right? God forgives us, and it's amazing. But it's given because we don't deserve it. It's not justified. It's just freely given. It's not like compassion. And Jesus shows both sides of compassion and mercy in the scriptures. You know, he was extremely compassionate. You know, when he found out that Lazarus had died, it says he wept. And that word really can't be translated properly in the Greek. We don't have an English word for what that Greek word says when it says he wept. He fell apart. He broke down. He melted down before the tomb, you know, and that's compassion. You know, when he had the woman who was caught in adultery, and he didn't say to her, okay, so let's talk about why you got into this racket to begin with. And he doesn't say that. He just says, you know, go and sin no more.
No.
You know?
One of the things that I really appreciate about the Year of Mercy, and I was very happy when Pope Francis announced it, was that it gives us an opportunity to wipe the slate clean and to start all over and to wipe out any sentence of purgatory that we are having over our head. Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I'm so in awe that this is a great opportunity to wipe the slate clean for all of us, every one of us, and to do away with purgatory for us if we maintain our demeanor.
When I talk about things like this, though, I want to make sure that everyone knows the fine print, because we talk about God's promises.
Tell us the fine print, because I want to know that myself. Okay. That's what I'm always worried about.
Yeah, because there's the fine
exclusions. Yes.
Yeah, and nobody gets that. People will come, you know, in counseling, they'll say, but I stood on God's promise, and I declared what you said to declare in prayer. And yeah, but you know what? You're still not lined up with the Lord, because you're into something that really God's not, you know, aligned with. So when we're not aligned, we don't have our wills aligned with the Lord, and we pray these prayers, that's the fine print. You really have to understand that in order to access the blessings that the Lord has, the favors that he has, we have to align ourselves with his mind. Now, not because he's a tyrant, but because he gave us, oh my God, free will.
And that's what we're struggling with, is the free will.
Exactly.
Right?
and that's what God struggles with. But he tries to find all kinds of plans, A, B, C, D, around our free will. And he comes in on the bottom, and he comes in as the helicopter, and he comes in as the boat, you know, and he's always trying to work around our free will. But that's the deal. The free will is what makes this stuff real. So, yes, there are plenary indulgences, which means that you have all your purgatory up until that point relieved. And that's if you visit the certain shrines that have been set up. And I know that in Long Island now we have a couple of places.
St. Agnes,
Our Lady of the Island, the seminary right here in Huntington.
Right.
The Holy Doors have been designated there. And again, Holy Doors, well, what is that? That's a sacramental. It's really an icon. It's a sign, a prophetic sign that the church gives us, walking through into a new life, a new beginning, a fresh start. You know, and the Lord says, my mercy is anew every morning. I find that so reassuring, because when I go to bed at night, I'm like, oh, my God, what happened today?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And it's so exciting to know I can get up and I can complain a little to the Lord and have a cup of coffee with him, and then get to really hear about what he's going to do to redeem
what I screwed up yesterday.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Now, the big thing with me about the Year of Mercy is to be forgiven. And, of course, I know that for me to be forgiven, I have to forgive. Do you know that's the hardest thing in the world for me to do? To forgive. I don't know why. What can you tell little people like me about forgiven?
Well, if you want to be forgiven, you have to have forgiveness.
Yeah, but I mean, I mentioned it on radio several times, and I got some comments on it. But if I've offended anyone without even knowing that I offended, because I do that, I mean, I offend many people I talk to, especially over the phone. People, you know, get angry with me. If I offended anybody,
what do you do? I can't believe it.
I'm very straightforward.
Oh.
But if I've ever offended anybody, I'm sorry, and I ask for your forgiveness. And I probably never meant it, but that's just the way I am. So
it doesn't say things gently.
So if I've offended people that have called me or asked me questions and stuff like that, I'm sorry.
That's a great question. I spend my life talking about forgiveness every day. If I have 8 hours of clients, I have 8 hours of forgiveness. Forgiveness, it's the bottom line for every one of us, you know? And notice that word give is in there. Gift, give, we give it. Forgiveness is so hard, and yet it's so easy if you really realize that you're imprisoned by what you don't forgive. No,
exactly. That's a good point.
You know, you are imprisoned.
That's a good point.
And the other thing that I found so helpful in my own life is I always ask the Lord to show me my version of what the person did to me. And it never fails. We all have our own version. Now, it may not show up looking at all like what the person did, but the Lord, the Holy Spirit will show you, this is your version. And then I say, my God, given all the graces and blessings I've been given, you know, that I still have that version is incredible to me, that I could still do something to hurt people knowing how much I've received. And then sometimes the people that have hurt me haven't received those graces and blessings anywhere near. So I always tell people, ask the Holy Spirit to show you what your version of this is, of what's gone
that's
on.
Very interesting. My question?
No, I think that's a good
question.
Oh, I
thought it was mine. I thought you were talking about me. I was saying my wife is complimenting
me. Did you
finish the question? Thank you,
yet?
Jesus. She never compliments me, but she does. She loves me. It's been a long time. She loves me. Now, do you find it easy when someone really gets your goat, so to speak?
You can't take offense.
We can't take offense.
You know, Paul tells us over and over again, do not take offense. Because what does offense do? It's Satan's bait. It shuts us down. As soon as you take offense, you not only shut down what's going to happen with the other person, you shut down all the blessings that could happen that very day for yourself as well as for others. You know, it's kind of like you wake up in a good mood, then you get a phone call, somebody says something, and all of a sudden you just feel yourself going down.
Right.
And you're taking offense. But what are you doing? You're shutting off now the Lord's blessings to you, because now you're in this negative place. Now you start perseverating about it and thinking about it and making it bigger and bigger and bigger. And you all know, and I know, that in 2 hours from then, you don't even know how you got to the pit you got to.
Oh, okay.
And you're like, how did that happen?
Yeah,
I woke up
okay.
in a great place.
Not Danielle.
Yeah.
Now you... I get...
Been there, done that.
The truth of the matter is I get pretty good reviews about you. I mean, there are a lot of people that watch News 12, specifically in the morning, because they love to see you. They love to watch you, and they love to hear you talk. And, of course, Joan is, I think, a very big
thank
fan.
You, Joan.
Joan
thank
knew
you.
Who you were immediately.
Oh, thank you. She knows when I'm on. That's,
yeah,
I'm impressed.
Yeah, yes. And she's got it on. But if someone comes up with a comment about you or something that's not very flattering.
All the time.
Do you get upset?
Do
you get upset?
Well, I think all the time. I think what my mother's saying is very very relevant, especially for what I do because I'm in front of the public. So I guess, how do I phrase this? I have to... take the good with the bad, and I have to accept the fact that people are watching me. So some people feel they have the right to, and
criticize.
Maybe they do, I don't know, but to, you know, criticize. So basically, this is what happens every day. I am judged on how I look, how I sound, how my hair is, what I'm wearing, what color I'm wearing.
Wow.
Are my eyebrows too dark? Are my eyebrows too light? Is my lipstick too dark? Is my lipstick too light? And, you know, I'm coming from a mindset which is probably not the best. I want to be a journalist first. I want to be a person who tells stories factually, accurate, succinctly, that my viewers will understand. And I just wish I had a makeup artist and a hair person. Then life would be great. And News 12 does give us a lot of support. They have people come in and try to, but you know, we never can do it the way they do it.
Course.
I look great for one day and then I'm back to Danielle. And I'm more, you know, put my hair up and get the story done kind of person. But the thing is, and the bottom line is, sometimes those comments take me down, and I have I spiral. And there's other days that I'm able to push through it. But, and I always, you know, debate this: is it my id, you know, my kid coming out because I start self-assessing and self, you know, obsessing about myself, and then I'm missing out on all the great things happening. And like my mother said, bottom line, that's Satan's bait. Absolutely. Satan is not the big scary monster coming out with the teeth and the fangs. He's the little whisper that says, oh, your hair looks different today.
Wow, that's
your outfit's interesting. That's an interesting, interesting outfit you have on, you know, and then all of a sudden, or did you ever try Weight Watchers? Yeah. And, you know, all this little teeny whispers in life, and it could be anything. It could be.
That's a great.
Can you imagine what we're gonna get if she gets that?
Oh man, it's tough. And I have to just say, I do a lot of prayer for protection. I pray for protection because I'm exposed to 3 million people every day, and I pray that my words will touch hearts. And I really do pray before I go on the air that, you know, all good will come from what's going on. And unfortunately, we have to tell bad news.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's so hard for us. And Doug and I and Carol Silva and Elizabeth Hashagen and all the anchors and writers, we are really committed to telling the news that we have to, but making sure that it's not assaulting, because there's a lot of details that we get about terrible stories that public doesn't have to know.
No.
And, you know, we can tell the story and explain what happened without battering people with very graphic details.
Right. Oh,
and we really believe in, you know, journalism, but not where it's sensationalizing.
Right.
And so it's hard to sit there and tell people bad news. That's for sure. It really is.
You guys are not going to believe this. I think there's about another 10 or 12 minutes to go for this show. I can't believe that we're going.
Oh, my goodness.
We didn't even cover half of the stuff we have to talk about. I wanted to talk about. You got to come back. Promise right now you're going to come back.
Yes, absolutely.
You promise?
If you want me, yes.
Yes, I absolutely.
If I can say interesting.
I have to tell you, listeners, what you see on TV is not only what you get, but it's what you get plus. Because you can see the spirituality in Danielle. You could see the love that she has for her mother. I'm almost at tears in my eyes. And I sense
how can you not love her?
Right? How can you not? I mean, I'm really, you know, bringing
I love listening to her, actually. I wish I could get to some more
and
of her.
So I don't know, hundreds of other people that go to her seminars and her talks, and you do a certain every week, don't you?
I have a Bible study.
Tell us
about
Francis
Church.
Where we go for
St. Francis
Green Lawn on Wednesdays at 10:30, 11.
At 10:30, 11.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's every week, but yeah, I've been doing a lot. I have had gotten a lot of gigs lately, all over the place.
You see, you're using my language now, baby. Gigs.
Yeah. I'm right there in Brooklyn with you, Tony.
Got it, girl.
Yeah. No, she has such wisdom. My mother is really blessed with the word.
She does.
She is.
She has the Holy Spirit.
I know, and you know what? She has the wisdom to be able to look through people and to be able to, I think, this is what I got, able to not analyze people, but able to know what's in their soul. This is what I got, that you have that sort of little gift that you can tell what's in people's
souls.
She's
tough stuff, too.
Am I what?
She's tough stuff, too,
I know
by the way.
Oh, I know that.
I mean, sometimes I think, oh, my gosh.
Yes, I know that.
Well,
absolutely.
It's a little bit more than her education gave her.
Yes.
It's what God gave her, too.
Now, I wanted to talk about the scriptures and about the three scriptures that are alike, the synopsis scriptures, and one that's different.
Yes.
People don't really know about that. As a matter of fact, I was going to do John, Mark, and Luke a little bit about it, but maybe in lieu of that, you can tell us a little something about
the
synoptic scriptures, the difference between them, and that they're the same, and the one that's different.
Right. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are synoptic. That means same, S-Y-N, you know, synonym. It comes from the word same. They're the synoptic gospels, and that means that they all tell the same stories. But the fascinating thing that I love about it is that they all tell them differently. And that's, I'll tell you why I love it, because that's real. That's human. If they were contrived or somebody tried to put them together, they'd make all the details match.
Exactly.
And it's like when I do family therapy, for example, I'll have somebody first
five
different families. If there's five kids, there was five different families I hear about.
Wow.
One kid will come in and I'll be like, oh my God. And then another one will come in and I'll be, oh wait, it wasn't that bad. It was really good. And you know, when I was first doing family therapy, it was very confusing because I thought that I had it all nailed, and then the next sibling would come in. It was a whole different rendition. But that's how we, and Danielle will verify that, right? Reporting stories, right?
Sure.
Talk about that a little bit, how people report different things.
You mean when I interview different people?
Like if you go to a fire or something.
Right. Yeah, everyone has a different version of what happened, even though it's the same event, and they're talking, you know, same basic facts. They have different things to add.
Through different eyes.
Right, and no one's lying.
No.
That's the point. So I love the synoptics because nobody took the time to say, we better make this all believable and make everything match up. So things don't match.
They don't
but
match.
But they're the same,
right.
And I love that about them.
Right.
I absolutely love that about them.
Yeah.
Now, so the three that are the same are?
Matthew,
John, and Luke?
Matthew, Mark, and Luke.
Mark and Luke. And John is different.
John is different. John is a
now,
whole
different
story.
Now, what do we call in John?
He's the mystic. John is the great mystic. And John really emphasizes not so much the resurrection even as the cross. He says the cross was enough. We didn't even need the resurrection, which we had. Not that he doesn't declare it. Of course he does. But that the cross was when Jesus was lifted high up. That was his moment. That was the pinnacle moment of Christ. So he talks about Christ in a more mystical sense. You know, he's the great beloved of Christ. You know, great beloved apostle.
So I do a saint. I bring a saint forward every show. So this show I was going to do about John, Mark, and Luke, but I thought at the last minute I was given in my head that you should do it and talk about it, and instead of me giving my analysis or my research. So now there are three that are the same and one that's different, but it's not that different, is it?
Yeah.
It is.
It's very different.
So here's the question.
Yeah.
But it's different, but it's still part of the scriptures.
Of course.
Right?
It's from his relationship Jesus.
And it's on his perspective.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we need to take the four gospels.
Oh, absolutely.
As the truth.
They're all part of the
and
canon.
And nothing should be changed. It's all part of it.
Absolutely.
And the gospel is the word of God. And nothing can be changed in it. Is that correct?
Absolutely. It's what we call the canon of Scripture. You know, it's from our word. When we say we canonize somebody, we canonize Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John's Gospels. We make them part of the canon. The canon is the basis of our faith, of our Christian faith.
And these were all followers. They were followers of Jesus. They were called by Jesus.
All
right?
of them.
And so they left everything to follow Jesus.
Right.
Am I
Yeah. Well, we think Luke was connected to Paul quite a bit.
Yes.
Luke kind of emerges with the he was a great physician.
Yes, and he's the patron saint of physicians.
But the interesting thing about him is he was probably a slave, because what the Romans did was they took the slaves that were really bright and maybe came
and
from better
them,
and
right,
they
right.
schooled them in
yes.
how to be physicians and in medical knowledge, so that they would have their personal physician.
Right. Oh,
so he was probably a slave who then got a, so to speak, degree.
I noticed during Advent that the Bible is very heavy on Luke. I mean, almost every reading,
right?
Every Sunday, it's Luke.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So
Luke has the great nativity stories. Luke is known for the great nativity stories.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And he tells them in a different, little different way than the other guys do. You know, he's.
I see.
Yeah.
So now we have the synoptic. And what's the right terminology for John?
Yeah. Just the mystical.
Mystical?
The mystical gospel. You know, it's the gospel that takes us out of the concrete. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very interested in telling us stories. The gospel
reporters.
Stories. Yeah, they're reporters, right. Yeah, they're reporters.
Ah, good.
Okay, that's a
good word from a reporter.
Yeah. Takes one to know three.
Takes one to know one.
Perfect.
I think that's a great answer, and I think that would suffice. I have a whole big research on the four Gospels, but I'll probably save that for another day, and we'll use what you said, because I know there's confusion amongst the parishioners on the different Gospels, the different readings, and John, Mark, and Luke, and Matthew, and how they're separated. So, but it's good to know that three of them are separated in one. Is that correct? They're similar, aren't
three
they?
Three are the similar. They're the synoptics.
The
so you're
going to
hear the same stories, but different details. Are
going
to be emphasized.
Yeah. And John.
And John is the mystic, and he takes it way beyond the concrete. You know, he is really talking about Jesus Christ as God. That's his main thrust. He wants you to get that. He wants you to get that he is God.
Okay. Yeah. All right, that's great. And I think that would suffice, right, Joan?
I think so.
Yeah, I think that answers.
Neither, and can I just say, as you said, neither one could ever be alone enough.
I see. You need
the whole complete picture.
Right,
okay.
Put the whole puzzle together. I just want to mention my mother's book is on Amazon. I did talk about our Sunday dinners.
Yeah.
Are we having Sunday dinner, Mom? What
yeah.
do we have? And this is what I say to her. What are we having? And she's
what
like, whatever God brings to the table, whatever we got going. But her book, Sunday Dinner, Ella Francinella, is on Amazon, and you can order it, and it's really fabulous.
Is that the book I have?
Six more coming.
Oh, my Lord. You're going to be
my brother's the illustrator. My brother is the
illustrator.
Amazing pictures. Check it out.
Wow. What's your brother's name?
David Peter.
Hi, David Peter. How you doing?
Campbell.
How much time do we have, Trev? 3 minutes?
Okay.
Should we play a song or should we do a prayer?
Well, we could do a prayer while the song is on.
Okay.
Like,
can you play
The Sea of Forgetfulness? Too.
The Sea of Forgetfulness and Lo and Barbara. Can you lead us in a prayer?
Okay. Do you have people you want to pray for specifically?
Yes, we want to pray for all our petitions here.
Yeah.
And our listeners.
We have many more, but these are special ones that they
have a bag
asked us for.
Yeah.
There's a whole bag full here.
And also the one that was texted today, Ed.
Okay. Eugene,
rather. Yes.
Yeah.
Eugene. Okay.
Yes.
So do you guys want to just pray over those
yes.
as well?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. So where we lift up right now all the intentions that we're praying over in this package here. We, Lord, you know what they are. We don't even have to say them. We lift up David and Kimmy, Justin, Mikey, Nikki, and Eugene and their families. Lord, I ask that you would bring them to a new place in their life, that we declare a life over them, Lord. We declare your will over their lives. We thank you, Lord, that they will walk in your glory. Here on this earth, we thank you, Lord, that you will give them abundant life here on this earth. We thank you, Lord, that you will lift them above the eagle's wings. You'll take them on eagle's wings and lift them above the clouds, Lord, that you will shelter them in the fortress that you are. You tell us that you are the fortress and the shelter, that in their discomfort, in their confusions, in their tribulations, you will shelter them, Lord, in that fortress. We thank you, Lord, that you are a Father who loves with an unconditional love, who calls us always to the next step. And we praise you for the next step, Lord, that you're calling each one of these people to
every single person that we've just mentioned. We pray for drug addiction, that those who are afflicted by drug addiction will find hope in you, Lord, that they will realize that it's a supernatural event that will take them out of it. Nothing natural can help them, but that a supernatural grace from you can turn things around in one half a split millisecond. We thank you, Lord, that you will give them the revelation they need. All the people we've prayed for, wisdom, knowledge, discernment, revelation. And we pray this all in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you,
Amen.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Danielle, would you like to say anything?
I just felt that we should be praying for those who are suffering with drug addiction and their families.
Absolutely.
I don't know if anyone on that list is.
I'm sure.
But I feel that I know the heroin epidemic
is
so prevalent, and that my heart goes out to those families, and just stay strong, keep praying, and have faith.
And any children with the terrible cancer. And so many children are afflicted with this. And
the views expressed
we know
in the
a few special people that we want to pray for. And we keep
staff,
David in our hearts and minds always in prayer. And Justine was another one that had asked for
Justine.
Our prayer.
Okay,
so thank you, listeners. We love you. Keep listening. And praise Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Amen.
From the heart of the nautical mile.